morning. Today is Thursday, June the 16th, last day of school. Who better to have here than a school guy? Hello,
absolutely.
Mr. Van Vleck.
How are you?
Well, you know, to be honest, I'm in Phoenix dying right now. But yeah, thanks for caring. Yeah, something about 112.
Well, to
just
be
lights me up.
To be honest, we have the chance of rain this afternoon. And a graduation, or actually a promotion this afternoon, two promotions, Winship and Zane, and then we have graduation tomorrow. So we're all doing the no rain dance.
Oh, so what do you call it when the elementary schools and the kindergartens and everybody else has their events now too?
Promotion.
Oh.
So no kindergarten promotion. We have promotion from fifth grade to middle school, and then we have promotion from eighth grade to high school, and then high school graduation at our two high schools.
Yeah, we'll get into this in a sec. Today is Thursday, June the 16th, 174th day of the new year. Fred, you brought somebody along with you. We'll introduce him, then I'll pounce on you.
Excellent.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right, Randall Sims. Excited to have Randall here with us. He is the principal of Zane Middle School next year.
Starting tomorrow?
Starting tomorrow, yeah.
Ooh.
Starting Friday after the last day of school.
We'll be looking at your stamp. Look for that thing somewhere.
Thank you.
Oh, let's see. Oh, here we go. This one is apropos. I love this one. Our quote this morning comes from George Hebert. Quote, "Dry bread at home is better than roast meat abroad."
Hmm.
Ain't that the truth, huh?
Yes.
So, Fred, why do we have all these events? Yeah, graduation was high school, college, okay. Maybe junior high, maybe. But now it seems like everybody has to, it's like the T-ball syndrome gone amok. Everybody has to get the pat on the head. Everybody has to get the recognition. All kids are doing very well, but we don't keep score. And we move everybody. How come?
Well, candidly speaking, the promotion ceremonies coming out of the elementary schools are not a big deal. I know some people would argue with me about that. I could argue on both sides of the equation whether to have them or to not have them. It is a milestone for the students as they move on to their middle school career. But it also is not really something that we want to make a big deal out of, because moving on from fifth grade is moving on from fifth grade. The capstone really is high school, and that's the one that we really focus our attention on. And candidly, that's why we call it graduation when you get to high school, and we don't call the other ceremonies graduation. We just simply call them promotion because they're promoting on to the next grade.
Well, I know every once in a while you close your eyes, you swing really hard, and you hit the ball solid. You just did. Because I am very much of the opinion that if you make a big deal out of fifth to sixth grade, it's like, not that it's an accomplishment, but it's extraordinary. No, it's expected. It's required. It is what it is. You know, here's your cookie. Thank you very much. You know, I probably a little bit towards the Attila the Hun school of charm beyond you on this one. But I'm looking at going, yeah, you should. Just like moving on, you know, moving from Zane to the high school. Of course, there's not an option here. You're supposed to do that. You're achieving minimal expectations rather than stars and stripes and fireworks and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And we had all our promotion ceremonies at the elementary schools yesterday. They're spaced 45 minutes apart, and there's a team of us board members and cabinet members from the district office that go from ceremony to ceremony to ceremony. They're done really quickly, and again, it's not dressed up to be a really big ceremony.
Punch around. Cookies around. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and Randall Sims, who doesn't know what he's getting himself into. The Zane factor. Fred, what do you do when you choose somebody to be a principal?
Well, we go through an interview process. How's that?
Good. Okay. You want to know who you're talking to. That's good.
Yeah. You know, the reality is when we're looking for a principal, there's some things, three real key factors that I'm looking for. And one of those key factors is basically expertise in the field. And we assume that the person coming in, if they have a credential, that they have sufficient expertise as far as the semantics of how to run a school.
A teaching degree gives you organizational skill sets?
No, administrative credential. You actually get an administrative credential, and you have to have an administrative credential in order to be qualified. So,
and apparently attention to detail is not a biggie on that one, huh?
I'm not going to bite. And so,
administrative credential. Okay.
The next one is basically their pedagogy skill. Do they know what good teaching is, and do they know how to observe good teaching? Do they know how to promote good teaching? Do they know how to promote teachers to do a better job inside the classroom? That's a very important skill. And then the third one is a compelling nature. And the first two you can learn. This third piece you just really can't learn. And that is, will the teachers rally around you as a principal and want to do better for the school just because they like how you're running the school, they like who you are as a person, and really inspire those teachers to do a better job for the students? And that's probably the toughest skill out there to find.
All right, Randall, let me hit you with this one. Everybody has their favorite teacher.
Yes.
Who's your favorite principal?
My favorite principal.
Did I mention that I was once a principal? Just kidding.
No, my favorite principal is Carol King. The first, when I first came out of grad school, I worked with her, and I learned a lot from her. I'd say she and the assistant principal, Brooke Zimmerman, were my mentors. My office was right next to her, and she, in the very beginning, and I was green when I started, and she would bring me in and say, "Hey, sit in on this. I want you to, you know, see how we're going to handle it." She retired at 72. She said, "I think I retired too soon," and she's substituting at the school that she was a principal for. She's that kind of person. So,
passion.
You know, I would like to jump in on the favorite principal, because that's a really interesting question.
I know you were a teacher also, so you could be a favorite teacher.
My hope is that the students don't remember the favorite principal, because the principal's job isn't to be the favorite of the student. It's to inspire the teachers, and that's who we want the students to remember. Are those?
But as a cultural leader of that facility, you got to know who the boss's boss is.
Oh, sure.
As a kid.
I'm not saying not know who the principal is, but the person that really is in there, and research clearly shows us who makes the most direct impact on a student's education and who makes the most impact on whether or not students learn, is not the principal, right. It's the teacher.
Right. No, but you were talking, what I was hearing, cultural, the CEO of the campus, so to speak. You know, you're not out there flipping the hamburgers, and you're probably not having the people who are overseeing the people flipping the hamburgers. Different skill sets, as you alluded to.
Right. And so an administrator.
Who makes it a good place to be, and how come? Who's out in front? The customers know that in a business, I would think. Students would know what it can.
I would actually say probably not. And the reason that I would say not to that is because a good administrator provides support through resources. A good administrator doesn't provide support by going out and actually flipping the hamburgers, but he'll supply the spatula and the hamburger and the cheese to melt on the top and the buns to put on there and get all toasted.
But I thought that was your job.
That is my job on a higher level than a principal, on a district-wide level, but the principal has to do the same thing on the site, because the principals get a site budget. They also get a defined amount of time that they have to broker, and a defined amount of support that they have to broker out amongst the teachers as far as personnel-wise, the support that's there. So the principal has a huge impact on deploying those resources on a site.
So, Randall, you guys feels comfortable and challenging?
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, because when you said who was my favorite principal, I thought of it from the perspective as an educator, not as a student. I don't remember who my principals were when I was in school.
Oh, really?
I remember a couple of APs.
Apparently, you didn't spend a lot of time in the office, did you? I can pop mine out like clockwork.
So can I.
I know the assistant principals at a couple of my schools. I was at times one of those kids, but not the principals. So, I mean, my perspective is, and right now, I was just saying on the way in, I have the Zane yearbook that are being passed out tomorrow.
The Falcon. See.
And I'm you know, learning the students' names. So I'm all the 6th and 7th graders. I want to know as many kids' names when we start school next year. You know, 8th graders I won't have next year. But, we have 600 students. I expect to know every kid's name and them to know me. But I don't know that I'm going to have a relationship with 600 kids. But I want them to feel like, hey, there's somebody at school who knows me and supports me. I think that's important for kids when they come to school. Otherwise, they feel disconnected.
It is certainly a different educational model today than it was when the old guy and me were going through the local schools. Are there still counselors? Does Zane still have counselors? I mean, everything has changed around so that if you haven't had a kid go through, even some of the buildings aren't buildings anymore, thinking of the locker rooms that have changed so significantly. Is there going to be a desire to embrace the community or just the school community when you're there?
Both. I was just saying, my wife and I are moving up here from Santa Cruz, and we're house hunting currently. And it's my preference to live in Eureka because I think it's important for the principal to be part of the community. I'm an outsider, and if I grew up in Eureka, I would be. I would say I'm comfortable, commuting in, but I want to be part of the community. My dad was a 30-year middle school teacher, so and I was really impressed when we go anywhere. We went to Disneyland. I grew up in Michigan, and kids there would recognize them and say, "Hi, Mr. Sims, how are you?" And when I was a little kid, that was huge for me. So I think being in the community, going out to a restaurant, having kids come up and say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And for me, that's what a principal does. You're part of the community.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and the new guy in town, huh? Randall Sims, the incoming principal at Zane. Talk Shop presented by Redek and by CDH Painting. Randall, when you were considering the position, what did you look for? Physically, culturally, what was it that said that this was something you were interested in going after?
Sure. A big part of it was the community. I'm in Santa Cruz right now, actually in Capitola, and we have a small, it's a small K-8 school district, and everybody knows everybody, and the school's an important part of the community, and I was looking for a small community where the school is a major factor, and everybody knows everybody. You go to the people who go to church, the people who are at the farmer's market. They're all part of the school community. So I was looking for that. I was also looking for a diverse school population. My first job, I was working in a pretty well-to-do school district where you felt like an outsider, even though I lived, in town. So that was a big part of it. I wanted to look for a school where teachers were excited, where they were forward-thinking, that they were going to push kids. I mean, like I said, I'm an old school. My dad was a 30-year math teacher in the middle school, and he was a coach. So I know what that looks like from the inside.
Could he spell X's and O's?
he was a basketball coach.
Being a math guy, okay, there we go. So he could count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was good. Okay.
So I grew up with John Wooden was also my mentor too.
Oh,
so.
That's very yeah. Gosh, how cool would that have been, huh?
Yeah.
You actually had the chance to take a class from Wooden. Whoa, that would be. So, this is certainly, you said, a diverse area, and I'll go yeah.
And natural beauty, that was a big part of it too. I mean,
Santa Cruz has its benefits in that direction, right, as well. What do you see as the number one thing that you want to climb into and deal with wrestle down, whatever phrase you want to. The first thing that you see is your top priority.
Well, the first thing is there's a lot of good things happening at Zane. So.
Well, not those. What's the first improvement area that you're looking at? What strikes you now as an area that needs to be improved?
Yeah, so looking from the outside in, looking at numbers, and I think the academic achievement could be we need to push harder. I think we want to have opportunities for all students at the school. I think some students are highly successful, and there's some students that I think we need to push harder. I want to see more students have an opportunity to have an opportunity to go to college, or if not, to get a good education and be successful in life. I mean, I think education is still the great leveler. If you get an education, you can have an opportunity.
So at the junior high level, it's a little bit more challenging, I think, because you're dealing with the fundamentals somebody else has done.
Right.
Okay, you don't have the whiz-bang, ooh, cool stuff at the high school.
Right.
You're somewhere in between, transitioning from one through the other. What do you look at to keep the passion alive, or if it's not there, to get the kids fired up about this thing called school?
Yeah, so I love middle schoolers. I've worked in middle school my whole career, and it's interesting because that's the time when kids are really figuring out who they are and who they want to be, what it means to be a friend, what it means to be loyal, all these values that shape who a person is. That's almost the crucible at that time when kids are forming, who am I? And how do I want other people to see me? And I find that really fascinating. At the same time, we're going to do some math and reading while we're doing that also. So, but I think part of it is, who am I as a student? Am I somebody who's going to push hard and be successful, or am I somebody who's going to be, fearful, or am I going to be predetermined from how other people see me, or am I going to change myself?
So, inserting and infusing that into the student is
right.
One thing. Infusing that target into the faculty
right.
is a whole, particularly since you ain't one of them.
Right.
Any idea? Do you have a template that you're going to be working off of, or is this experience that you're going to be bringing to the table?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, I wouldn't say I have a template, because I think each person, each teacher is really unique and different, and they're motivated in different ways. So if you're going to try to motivate everybody the same way, you're going to have some fallout. So one of the great things about working in schools, everybody, whether they still feel that way or not, originally went in to work to help kids because they love working with kids and they see the benefits of education. So you always go back to that basic, hey, we're in it for the kids. What's going to benefit the kids? What is the best idea? Also, there's a lot of people who are really bright, who have great ideas in school. You want them to feel like they're valued, that their ideas are valued. What do you guys think? What do you want to do? What are you seeing in your classroom that we need to do more of, or we need to change?
So, is brainstorming something that doesn't happen that regularly in the academic arena? I mean, you say that, and I'm going, well, yeah, duh. You would want to bring your guys together and say, okay, what's the issue everybody's dealing with right now in the classroom that's causing some problems? What's the cool stuff? How do we share it, and how do we multiply that?
So informally, I think that happens, but sometimes I think it can fall into, and I don't know Zane yet, but the schools I've been in, it can fall into people are noticing the things that are wrong, but they're not taking the next step and say, okay, we don't like this, but now what do we do to change it? And that's a step. And I think that's what a principal does. How do we bring out the best in people? How do we say, okay, I get that you don't like this, so how do we change it? How do we make it better?
So Fred, what are you looking at from Randall? How are you going to measure success? I mean, he's got it now with the academic achievement math, I presume.
I expect by the end of next year, all students to have perfect scores and be on grade level.
Good.
No, I'm joking.
Good. He signed on for it, yeah. So it sounds like it's a deal.
Well, that is the goal. I mean, if you're one of those kids who aren't, what's that like for you? You know? I mean, we look at statistics, but there's also the individual student. The student who isn't making those achievement levels, what happens with their life? So, I mean, you got to go, student by student, too, I think.
So the candid answer from my perspective, what my expectation is consistent progress. And that's consistent progress as a whole package, whether it be from the discipline side of the house, whether you're talking about bullying, or whether you're talking about academic achievement. It's always striving to make that consistent progress forward toward that perfect school, which there is no such thing. But the progress towards that is what the expectation is and what the goal is and what I'd really like to see Randall do in his career up here. I'm excited to have him. I think he's going to fit well into the community. His wife is an artist. She's very excited about coming up here because we have a very artistic community, as you know. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to fit right in up here and do very well. So preliminary looking, although we don't know each other well yet, I think he is going to be well equipped to make that consistent progress forward.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Randall Sims and Fred Van Fleck.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and Randall Simmons. Guys, as you look at the upcoming year, certainly we've got budget constraints. Nobody ever says there's too much money. Okay, we got that. There's issues of deferred maintenance. There's ongoing maintenance. There's summertime building projects. Fred's got his pot of gold from the last bond measure that, you know, there's going to be some stuff going on. What does summertime look for you, other than finding a home? And Fred, for you, throwing a couple bucks at some of the campuses to get him up to speed and maybe even figuring out what to do at the high school with the gym.
Well, summertime actually is interesting because we really make the conversion to the next school year in January. That's when it really happens. That's when our open enrollment period is. That's when we're doing our staffing. And so from January on, it's all about the following school year. So right now we are fully engaged in the 16-17 school year and have been now for 6 months. And so it's just a continuation of that. A lot of preparation for the professional development that's coming up with the teachers coming back to school and getting them all ready to take on the challenges of the year and move that education forward.
You've also got something going on tomorrow. It's real. Not these promotional things, but the real deal.
Graduation, Albee Stadium, Eureka High School, 2 o'clock.
Concessions?
No, we don't.
You're not going to have the snow cone machine going and everything else like last year?
Oh, I thought you meant concessions and graduation. No, we.
No.
No, I knew what you were talking about. No, there's. I think there's some clubs
that's
out there that
sell a few things. That's called dispensation, not concession.
I think there's a couple clubs out there that sell a few things, but the focus certainly is not on concessions. It's graduation for high school is a big day, very important day, milestone for many students, and it's that opening to the next chapter of their life. And for most, it's some sort of post-secondary or after high school training.
Now, what I was getting to, and not quite so facetiously, but certainly a little bit, was, you know, a lot of folks are there for a long period of time. And they do dehydrate. And I was thinking, yeah, geez, for next year's graduating class for their safe and sober party, sell bottles of water and walk up and down the stands. I mean, make it simple.
You'll be happy to hear I am not speaking at graduation. I don't speak at graduation, so it's
got
much
voted
shorter.
Down again.
Yes. No. That's the first thing I took. The extent of my presentation at graduation is I certify this class has met the minimum qualifications.
Practice your
to graduate.
Man.
Yes,
practice
I got to work on
lines.
That.
Thanks for coming by, guys. See y'all tomorrow.
Thank you.